Lighthouses have inspired our best songwriters, poets, and painters. They symbolize faithfulness, bravery, truth. Many families are like ships adrift in a troubled sea. A recent study showed that our teens prefer the traditional stable two-parent family modeled by Ozzy and Harriet in the 50s to the bizarre, dysfunctional family modeled by Ozzy Osbourne. But they have little hope in their marriages will last. The dominant influences in their lives reinforce the message of moral ambivalence that has destroyed so many families in America. Our peer-sensitive kids are constantly barraged by messages of disdain for Christianity. And yet, it is in Christianity that our families can find the help and support they need to achieve the family stability they desire. But there is a lighthouse for the family, shining the light of truth, piercing the darkness of deceit that has settled over our land. And that is why the word lighthouse is in our name. Visit the Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Bettoravia Road in Santa Maria. Look for the lighthouse. Call 347-9887 for more information.
Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Warning. Persons listening to this show are exposed to the truth. This has proved to be deeply disturbing to liberals, sometimes causing mental disorientation and distraction. If you are a liberal and operating heavy equipment or are engaged in potentially life-threatening activity, be forewarned. Pastor Scheidbach is about to make you mad.
Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your
mind. Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth. Served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
A few minutes ago, I just listened to an Osgood file lauding the lessons learned from Prohibition. The success King Alcohol has enjoyed in pulling off one of the greatest scams in history is impressive. In the same way, Hitler's ability to mesmerize an entire country into going along with his atrocities might be said to be impressive. One of the irritating things about this whole prohibition propaganda war on the soul of America is the ignorance of Americans about the history of prohibition. Okay, a little Q&A. Question number one. Prohibition made consuming alcoholic beverages illegal in the United States. True or false? All the answers in? Okay, now those of you who are longtime listeners of the Brain Massage, unfair advantage. But the truth is, Prohibition did not make consuming alcoholic beverages illegal. Prohibition made it illegal to profit from it. You see, my friends, there is no correspondence between the current effort to legalize drugs and their claims that prohibition of drug use is like the prohibition of the 1930s. If prohibition principles were applied, it would be considered perfectly legal to produce meth in your own bathtub and share it with your friends in your own home. How about that? You see, that was prohibition. With regard to alcohol, that is, you could produce your own at home. You could drink it in your own home, and you could share it with your friends in your own home. Prohibition made it illegal to transport liquor across state lines and forbade the manufacture of it for commerce. Or, in other words, it removed the profit motive entirely from the manufacture of alcohol. Second question. Prohibition imposed a restriction on all Americans in order to control the excesses of only 10% of Americans. How unfair. Of course, my colorful attitudinals have betrayed the answer. But the fact is, the only people affected by the law were the 10% who wanted to buy and sell alcohol. It's specious, really. It's downright pretentious to make the claim that prohibition imposed a restriction on 100% of Americans in order to address concern about the behavior of only 10%. And this kind of argument is the kind that makes the wise man mad. I mean, does it testify to the dumbing down of our education system in this country? Or are these clever devils who are attempting to deceive the simple-minded? Think about it. Name a single law restricting any behavior that is not a restriction imposed upon all of us in order to address concerns about the misbehavior of some. How foolish! I mean, that's like saying the laws against murder unfairly restrict the behavior on all Americans in order to address the few who commit murder. I'm not comparing murder to trafficking in alcohol, but I could. When you take in the number killed in alcohol-related diseases, what's that, over 15,000 per year, traffic accidents over 10,000 per year, and it's way up above these numbers. These are all skewed in certain ways. If you include the number of kids 18 to 24 who are killed or debilitated by alcohol, steadily increasing, by the way, from 1,600 in 1998 to over 1,700 in 2001. And you hear the news about the rampant excessive use of alcohol in our university campuses and the damage it's doing to our kids. Look, the number of kids 18 to 24 who report driving while under the influence has moved up from 26.5% to 31.4%. Hey, 500,000 of our kids are unintentionally injured every year because of the influence of alcohol. More than 600,000 are hit or assaulted by someone under the influence of alcohol every year. And that's only accounting for the demographic of 18 to 24. And we've not even begun to discuss the impact of alcohol on families, the number of battered women, children, the destruction of homes. You ostrich heads need to wake up and look at reality. Reuters reports that alcohol kills more than AIDS. But let's just stick with the primary question here for the moment. The asinine notion that prohibition imposed on 100% of Americans a restriction intended to control only 10% of the population. It's a lie. All laws impose a restriction on 100% of the population to control or protect against the behavior of a few. But anyway, here you go, hypocrite. You say the answer to dealing with the few boozers who insist on driving drunk is to increase the number of checkpoints in our communities. That's interesting. Now, look, you want to talk about imposing inconvenience and irritation and restriction on the freedom of movement imposed upon the general public in order to catch the few who abuse the rest of us by their irresponsible behavior? How about checkpoints? And now, let me ask you the question my dove, and that's my wife, by the way, asked me a few months ago when we were discommoded by one of these checkpoints, of course, making us late for an important appointment. Why aren't these set up at the exit of every bar in town? Huh? Why harass the entire community when we know where there are boozers getting tanked up and then climbing into their cars? Well, the reason is simple. King Alcohol won't stand for it. The profiteers in booze won't tolerate it. It would interfere with their business. It would discommode the drunkards and those who service their habits for profit. Prohibition removed that from the issue of alcohol. So don't go about with that stupid, scornful look on your ignorant face when you're talking about prohibition. You don't even know what you're talking about. One more question. America suffered terribly under the burdensome law of prohibition. Are all answers in? Okay, here's the truth. The fact is, during prohibition in the 20s, and then it ended in, 1933, I think it was, dry states fared better than wet ones in terms of crime stats and health, by the way. But the love of money is the root of all evil. Oh, Bible thump alert! Bible thump alert! The love of money is the root of all evil, and it seduced many states by the lure of tax revenues on vice. The idea of taxing vice to fund government is itself a wicked business. Nothing is more evil than depending upon evil as a supply or a resource. The whole idea of prohibition was contrary to this. The whole point was that we did not want to encourage commerce or profiteering in this evil business of marketing strong drink. The repeal of prohibition was essentially done in order to allow the government to profit from the sale of booze. And for the present, we won't even go into how the mobs bought the politicians and the courts and how these bought with filthy lucre, corrupted the process, and railroaded repeal through, even though most Americans objected to it. Yeah, and we're fine with prohibition. That is, with the truth about it. But these lying propagandists deceive the people. And anyway, the evidence of that is even now you think prohibition against alcohol was similar to the laws we have in place against drugs. Well, it never was. Again, it prohibited the commercialization of alcohol, and repeal has been bad for America. Well, anyway, that's enough for that for the moment. We don't have a constitutional amendment prohibiting the transportation, sale, and manufacture for sale of drugs. And we certainly do not recognize anyone's right to produce their own and then share it with their friends. Our laws against drugs are based on the concept that use of these drugs is harmful and destructive to the lives and exposes society at large to various dangers. Criminalizing the behavior allows us to intervene and to discourage its use and authorizes us to prosecute those who produce and sell these harmful drugs, and particularly of concern is to our kids. When society decided no longer to aggressively restrict the availability of alcohol, teen alcoholism shot up. And for the last time I had a chance to look at stats on this, it's at an all-time high. Why? It's easily accessible and generally accepted. The same will be true. Heroin, cocaine, meth, and the rest of it. It's like the Gestapo tactic of incrementalism. Get homosexuality accepted, then go for pedophilia. And they're already working on that, by the way. And then finally, we won't be able to intervene in any of this perversity, bestiality at all, and it will become common and, of course, increase vastly the number of young people exposed to this and drawn into the bondage of these things. Anyway, I'm going to take a short break. I'll be right back.
How to know if you are a lights-on or a lights-off listener. If you find yourself suddenly feeling like someone turned on a bright light inside your head, and this is followed by a sense of euphoria, described by some as a feeling that you have just been enveloped into the warm and comforting embrace of the truth, then you are a lights-on listener. However, if you experience sudden bursts of rage, uncontrolled trembling of the lower lip, sweaty palms, and mental disorientation, then you are definitely a lights-off listener. Now that you know what symptoms to look for, call 888-770-8000 and leave your message. Is it lights on or lights off? Call 888-770-8000. The pastor is ready to receive your message. Your brain massage will continue in a moment.
I have written melodies for several of the Psalms, and I'm gratified that so many have enjoyed singing them. We've produced a CD titled Singing Psalms. $10 covers the cost of the CD and includes a $3 donation to our ministry. Call 1-888-770-8000 to order yours today. Or go to www.santamarialighthouse.org and click on the bookstore button.
Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
Church is not the place to be trolling for chicks, and it's not a talent show for rockers. So, if you want a rock concert, call Ticketmasters. But if you're looking for a church that takes the lordship of Jesus seriously, and you can endure sound doctrine proclaimed straight from the Bible with the preaching that tells it like it is, without fear or compromise, come to the Lighthouse, where we are shining the light of God's truth to help families safely navigate through the moral storms of our day. Call 347-9887 for more information. See our ad in the Coastal Pages Directory.
Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheibach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind man's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.
Warning, Pastor Scheibach is not politically correct, and even more shocking, he is a Christian who uses the word God and prays in Jesus' name in public.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheibach, Brain Masseur, and Paul Revere's Lantern Lighter here, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. How about Democrat Bev Perdue there in North Carolina suggesting we should give Congress, how did one guy put it? Here is a get out of an election free card. Well put. Yeah, this Democrat suggested that we should suspend congressional elections for 2 years, thus allowing the representatives to take care of the financial mess we're in without having to worry about an upcoming election. folks, that's called statesmanship. If these guys are such wieners, and I mean like Representative Wiener, who was absolutely not representative of statesmen, if they are of such low character, they can't do what's right for the country. For fear of losing their job, then they need to lose their job. I mean, you've got to be kidding me. What is happening to our republic? Where are these people coming from? How are we getting these sorts of dunderheads in such high political positions? What? Suspend the people's right to vote? What others of our rights are you Democrats going to grab for? Get your hands off our freedoms and our rights. Now, can you believe this? At no time in my life, as long as I've been paying serious attention to the effort on the part of communists to infiltrate our system and move us toward communism by way of socialism, that's exactly what they're doing, by the way, but never in my lifetime up till now have I seen a greater need for public accountability. And Purdue is suggesting this business of the people voting is getting in the way of taking care of the people's business? No, it's the low character of those in office that is the problem, not our right to vote. Obama thinks the checks and balances constructed into the Constitution is hampering him. And he's tempted, he said, to sidestep it. And he desires, he said, to find a way around Congress. He says so, and no one seems to care. Now, here's another Democrat suggesting we dismantle another part of the bedrock of our republic. They're working to destroy representative government. They want to rule by fiat. Stop them! And these people, all of them, will retire on the public wheel, at most of them full salary and a range of benefits that would, for the rest of their lives, will be paying for them. While our military are scraping by on meager salaries and constantly being defrauded after they retire, having their benefits curtailed and their salaries cut. It's too much. This has to stop. You know, Herman Cain is looking better to me all the time. Here's something I got from my son, who, by the way, is in Afghanistan right now. Appreciate your prayers, doing his part for our freedom. He learned from his youth that freedom is not free, and if we cherish it, we must defend it. Anyway, he sent this to me, and I thought it was important to share with you. But before I read it, I want you to think about something. Pelosi and can't read Reed and yahoos like President alleged Obama, none of whom have served 1 minute in the service of our country. At least Obama, and I don't think Pelosi has. I'm not sure about Reed. I don't think he has. Or for our freedoms, which probably contribute significantly to their disdain for both. Now, come on, admit it. Obama hates America. At least the America our founders bequeathed to us. He told you he intends to transform it, and we're seeing what it is he has in mind. A broken, demoralized, second-rate banana republic run by dictators or politicians who decree by fiat laws upon our backs. They can do whatever they want with impunity. You say he hasn't done that? Well, he hasn't done it yet, but he's sure made progress, hasn't he? He laments that he's only 70% there. Oh, my God. God help us. So far, he's destroyed the eligibility clause of the Constitution. He's acted in despite of the whole concept of representation. And I refer to his passage or the forced passage of Obamacare. He laments, has lamented out loud and before God and everybody more than once that this confounded Constitution he supposedly made an oath to protect gets in his way. He's tempted sometimes to simply ignore it. And now one of his minions is floating the idea that we should suspend elections until the crisis is dealt with. Perhaps they'll be suggesting we suspend election of president until he finishes destroying the country. Wake up! Anyway, as I read this, I want you to think about the fact that these people will retire from public office with full pensions, receiving many of them over $100,000 every year for the rest of their lives out of our pockets. And they'll enjoy access to medical care and other benefits that, by the way, with regard to medical care, bypasses the rules of Obamacare, from which, by the way, they've exempted themselves. This business of these characters being able to exempt themselves from laws they throw onto our backs has got to stop. Herman Cain, you're looking better to me all the time. Stay in the fight, my friend. But keep in mind, as I read this, these lousy leeches will keep bleeding the Treasury for the rest of their lives at $100,000 plus more per year. And some of these people are among the loudest who begrudge our military receiving due compensation for their service in defending the freedoms many of the politicians are working so hard, many of these politicians are working so hard to destroy. My friend, this is evil. Now, you know, I'm just going to read this. I'll probably not read it word for word. I'll ad lib from here and there, but I'm going to read from this that I received from my son. Cindy Williams was appointed by Obama as an assistant director for national security in the Congressional Budget Office. Now, this is an airman's response to Cindy Williams' editorial piece in the Washington Times about military pay, and it should be printed in all the newspapers across America. Hear. Ms. Cindy Williams wrote a piece for the Washington Times denouncing the pay raises coming service members' way this year, citing that she, stated a 13% wage increase was more than they deserve. A young airman from Hill Air Force Base responds to her article below, and he should get a bonus for this, and I certainly agree. Quote, Ms. Williams, I just had the pleasure of reading your column, and I am a bit confused. Frankly, I'm wondering where this vaunted overpayment is going. Because, as far as I can tell, it disappears every month between DFAS, that's the Defense Finance and Accounting Service, and my bank account. Checking my latest earnings statement, I see that I make $1,117.80 before taxes every month. After taxes, I take home $874.20. When I run that through the calculator, I don't understand military paying taxes. It doesn't make sense to me. When I run that through the calculator, I come up with an annual salary of $13,413.60 before taxes and $10,490.40 after. Now, look, these numbers, you're going to lose those. But listen, here's the point. He says, I work in the Air Force Network Control Center, where I am part of the team responsible for a 5,000-host computer network. I am involved with infrastructure segments, specifically with Cisco Systems equipment. A quick check under jobs for network technicians in the Washington, D.C. area reveals a position in my career field requiring 3 years' experience in my job. Amazingly, this job does not pay $13,400 a year. No, this job is being offered at $70,000 to $80,000 per annum. I'm sure you could draw the obvious conclusions. Given the tenor of your column, I would assume that you never had the pleasure of serving our country and her armed forces. Before you take it upon yourself to once more castigate congressional and DOD leadership for attempting to get the families in the military's lowest pay brackets off WIC and food stamps, I suggest you join a group of deploying soldiers headed for Afghanistan. I leave the choice of service branch up to you. Whatever choice you make, though, opt for the 6-month rotation. It will guarantee you the longest possible time away from your family and friends, thus giving you full deployment experience. As your group prepares to board the plane, make sure to note the spouses and children who are saying goodbye to their loved ones. Also, take care to note that several families are still unsure of how they'll be able to make ends meet while the primary breadwinner is gone. Obviously, they've been squandering that vast pile of cash the government's been giving them. Try to deploy over a major holiday. Christmas and Thanksgiving are perennial favorites. And when you're actually over there, sitting in a foxhole, shivering against the cold desert night, and the flight sergeant tells you that there aren't enough people on shift to relieve you for chow, remember this. Trade whatever MREs, meals ready to eat, you manage to get from the tuna noodle casserole or cheese tortellini, and add Tabasco to everything, huh? This gives some flavor. Talk to your loved ones as often as you are permitted. It won't be nearly long enough or often enough, but take what you can get and be thankful for it. You may have picked up on the fact that I disagree with most of the points you present in your open piece. But tomorrow from Kabul, I will defend to the death your right to say it. You see, I am an American fighting man, a guarantor of your First Amendment right and every other right you cherish on a daily basis. My brother and sister soldiers worldwide ensure that you and people like you can thumb your collective noses at us, all on a salary that is nothing short of pitiful and under conditions that would make most people cringe. We hemorrhage our best and brightest into the private sector because we can't offer the stability and pay of civilian companies. And you, Ms. Williams, have the gall to say that we make more than we deserve? A1C Michael Bragg, Hill Air Force Base, AFNCC. The person who gets more than she deserves is Cindy Williams. Are you with me on this? Come on, I need to hear from you. And I could use some help with broadcasting costs, too, by the way. As you can see, we have not commercialized a show on your station. We pay the freight to bring you the brain massage on this station, and it's really very simple. By the way, talking about soldiers being paid for their service, you know, that's a biblical principle. A soldier does not go to war at his own charges. Jesus expects his followers to support the soldiers he sends into the battlefield, hey? Now, I'm not supposed to be expected to go to war at my own expense, so you need to do your part so I can continue doing mine. Ha! But actually, this is true. You know, J. Vernon McGee used to say, unless a radio audience provided sufficient support to cover the cost of broadcasting on that station, he would drop that station. And that's our policy as well. I'm in a battle, and I'm willing to fight, but you're going to have to stand with me. Call 1-888-770-8000 and do your part. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you let me know if you see them. You say lights on if you see the lights are on, and you will ride like Revere and spread the warning. Essentially, it means you agree with what I'm saying, or you can say lights off, which means you reject what I'm saying and disagree strongly with me. So what will it be today, I wonder, when I go to my message hotline? Will I hear encouraging words, lights on? Or will I hear somebody say, lights off? Either way, call me. I appreciate your response and your feedback. Call 1-888-770-8000. That number again is 1-888-770-8000. And leave a message on our listener response hotline. It's a free call to anyone within the continental United States and from outside the country, by the way, or for those who prefer it. You can email me by going to our website and clicking on the Contact Us button. Use thebrainmassageshow.com. That's thebrainmassageshow.com. Thebrainmassageshow.com. Click on the Contact Us button and you'll be guided there to send an email to me. I read every email that I receive from my listeners and I respond to every call when I'm asked to respond. By the way, we would like to record some of the conversations I am pleased to have with some of my listeners and use them in future broadcasts, but we need your permission to do that. So when you call, if you would like me to call you and you'd be willing to allow us to record that call, please let me know when you call in. 1-888-770-8000. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If you find yourself suddenly feeling like someone turned on a bright light inside your head, and this is followed by a sense of euphoria, described by some as a feeling that you have just been enveloped into the warm and comforting embrace of the truth, then you are a lights-on listener. However, if you experience sudden bursts of rage, uncontrolled trembling of the lower lip, sweaty palms, and mental disorientation, then you are definitely a lights-off listener. Now that you know what symptoms to look for, call 888-770-8000 and leave your message. Is it lights on or lights off? Call 888-770-8000. The pastor is ready to receive your message.
Singing Psalms is an audio CD of several psalms sung to my melodies. God wrote the words and I wrote the music. The cost is $10. Call 1-888-770-8000 or go to our web bookstore at www.santamarialighthouse.org.
Church is not the place to be trolling for chicks, and it's not a talent show for rockers. So if you want a rock concert, call Ticketmasters. But if you're looking for a church that takes the lordship of Jesus seriously and you can endure sound doctrine proclaimed straight from the Bible with the preaching that tells it like it is, without fear or compromise, come to the Lighthouse, where we are shining the light of God's truth to help families safely navigate through the moral storms of our day. Call 347-9887 for more information. See our ad in the Coastal Pages directory.
Does modern science disprove what the scripture says?
Welcome to Creation, Evolution, and Science Ministries with your host, Russ Miller. And now, here's Russ.
Ben emailed to state, "The simple fact that it takes starlight millions of years to get to the Earth proves that the biblical creation is a myth. Ben, if that were a fact, then the Bible would indeed be a myth. However, who's ever seen starlight take millions of years to reach our planet? No one. That's a belief, not a fact. However, scientists have brought light to a dead stop before re-releasing it, while other researchers have been able to speed light impulses to 300 times its present speed. These facts make the starlight issue a non-issue. Certainly, if man can slow down, stop, and speed up light, then so can the creator of the light. In fact, our Creator, Redeemer, and Savior, Lord Jesus the Christ, is completely capable of telling us what He's done and of informing us of what He will do. And He has done just this in His uncompromised Word. Learn edifying information at creationministries.org.
For a complete brain massage experience, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. The Brain Masseur is waiting to massage your brain with scintillating insights.